Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to a special meeting of the NJEDA Board. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star, then one on your telephone keypad to be placed in a queue to speak and provide comment. You'll be asked to provide your name and organization with which you are affiliated. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star and then two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you should require assistance during the call, please press star, then zero. I will now turn the call over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Operator. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Tim, could you read the open public meeting notice, please?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice this meeting has been sent to the Star-Ledger and the Times of Trenton at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State. Back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Tim. Manira, could you call the roll, please?
Yes. Chairman Terrence O'Toole?
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Farlow?
Here.
Phil Elagia?
Here.
Fred Dumont? Matia Medina Ferrara?
Here.
Aisha Glover?
Present.
Jewel Antoine Johnson?
Here.
Marcia Marley?
Here.
Robert Shimko?
Here.
Aaron Cruz from the Executive Branch?
Here.
Acting Commissioner Justin Zimmerman?
Here.
Chief White for Commissioner Robert Angelo?
Here.
Elizabeth Dragon for Commissioner Sean LaFerrette.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Manira. A brief comment from me. The public should be advised that this is a special meeting of the NJEDA board. We will not be voting on prior minutes at this meeting, nor will we be providing formal chair remarks or a CEO report. We have two items that we're going to cover today, and we'll return to our live in-person meeting in February. Before we go forward, number one, I want to wish everyone a happy new year. It's the first time we've been together since the new year. I also want to welcome Josh Weinrock, who's listening in today. Josh has been appointed by the governor as a board member. As you recall, Ginny Bauer finished her term on the board in December. Josh will formally be joining us at the February meeting, but is listening in today. So welcome, Josh. Now, to move forward, I'd like to open the public comment portion of the meeting. I'm going to ask Daniel Esser to share NJEDA's public comment policy and process for this board meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As stated in NJEDA's public comment policy, members of the public who wish to speak will be acknowledged during the public comment portion of the meeting. Members of the public who are interested in providing public comment can press star, then one to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue based on the order received. We'll now go over NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available online. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization, affiliation, and the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit their comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired, and a person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure there is enough time available for all those who wish to speak. Related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comment at this time.
Thank you, Danielle. Operator, can you open the line to anyone who is here for public comment?
Yes, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please unmute your phone, press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star and then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, you may press star and then one at this time. One moment for our incoming guest questions. And we have no questions at this time, but again, that is star one if you have a question.
Nothing, operator?
And we have no questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on. I'm going to give a quick report. The Incentives and Policy Committee both met on January 10th. Staff provided committee members with presentations on each of the two items being presented for action today for their review and consideration. So with that, we'll move forward on the agenda with the two items. First up is an Aspire Award, and Renee Pratt will be presenting this item.
Thank you and good morning and happy Thursday to everyone. We are seeking your approval for an award up to $64,226,368 in Aspire tax credits for the applicant Bayfront Partners 32 Urban Renewal LP, which will entail the new construction of a residential project known as Bayfront Promenade. The project will be a mixed-income residential development located on a 1.49-acre vacant lot in Jersey City, Hudson County, along the Hackensack River waterfront. The project will include 210 residential units representing 268,960 square feet, with an additional 10,670 square feet of commercial retail space within a six-story mid-rise building consisting of studios, one, two, and three-bedroom apartment units. The residential mix includes 136 market-rate units and 74 affordable units, making the development 35% affordable. And I just want to mention that this is the first phase of a Bayfront master plan, which will ultimately contain 8,000 residential units upon full build out, with 35% of the units affordable to low and moderate income residents. And this phase will also encompass more than 11,000 square feet of multifunctional retail space for use by residents and the broader public. The lead development entities for the project are Penrose Holdings LLC and Paz Development LLC. The co-applicant for the project is Greater Bergen Community Action Incorporated. A legal review was completed on the applicant, lead development entities, and related entities by the authority, and all entities were cleared. The total development budget is $133,291,522. To help size the award, we exclude costs that are prohibited by statute and program rules. This brings the total eligible project cost to $107,043,947. The developer must contribute at least 20% equity, or in this case, roughly $26.6 million. The equity in this project, when accounting for the cash equity, LIHTC proceeds, a HUD grant, and deferred developer fee, exceeds that number at roughly $28.2 million, which satisfies this program requirement. The sources table in the memo shows there are other sources of debt and public funds in the deal. We subject the applicant's request to the program's various award caps. In this case, the project is eligible to receive up to 60% of the total eligible cost, or $90 million, whichever is less. To help further size the award, we looked at the project's rate of return. In this case, we used the hurdle rate provided by EDA's contracted consultant, Jones Lang LaSalle. With the benefit of the Aspire tax credit, the equity IRR is 19.63%, which is below the hurdle rate for the comparable developments of 23.80%. Lastly, I want to point out that with regards to the underwriting memo, which speaks to the financial review, the inclusion of the co-applicant's financial performance grid needs to be added, as it was finalized during the later parts of the underwriting process in efforts to complete the review of the co-applicant. However, this does not change the outcome of the financial review, as the results are satisfactory in that it has been concluded that the co-applicant has the financial and operational capability to provide the proposed contribution or services. based on the aforementioned factors, we are recommending an Aspire award up to $64.2 million for board approval. If approved, this project will be built and ready for occupancy within 37 months of the start of construction. And that concludes the presentation for this project. Happy to take any questions at this time.
Renee, do I recall from a committee meeting that the site is now vacant? Is this a big vacant a spot in Jersey City?
Correct. This is
vacant. Yeah, Terry, I was going to jump in with a little bit of background color here for everyone. For just Bayfront in its totality, and this is the first phase of what will be many, many phases, is one of the biggest housing development projects on the books in Jersey in a long time, and certainly one of the highest quotients or factors of affordable housing. I think it's 35% affordable across the many thousands of units that are expected to be built here long term. It's a former brownfield site that a community activist group fought hard, really hard and well, and God bless them for getting it cleaned up. And now this is now the first set of shovels in the ground, and it's something that mayor, county, state, everyone's been putting a big shoulder into for a good long while. So it's exciting to potentially be on the threshold of approving the first credits here.
It's interesting. You have both this and is it Riverton, the one on the parkway going south? Former another brownfield site with a big development on it.
Yeah, that was the National Lead site. That was you know, unfortunately Jersey has lots of experience with dirty sites, but that was on the high end of the dirty sites too. Yep.
Any other questions, comments from anyone on the board? Okay, hearing none. Any, Renee, you're done, correct?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, hearing no further questions or comments, can I hear a motion to approve? And again, remember, please identify yourself by name since we're on the phone.
So moved, Aisha Glover.
Thank you, Aisha. Second?
Dragon, second.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Thank you both. All those in favor signify by saying aye, aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
Chair Charles Sarlo Recuso, the co-applicant, is a client of mine.
Thank you. Noted. No others? Okay, hearing none. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Josh, abstaining.
Yes. Josh, I don't think you're formally a board member, so you don't need to, but thank you.
Perfect, thanks.
Hearing no other opposition, the motion passes. Next, we will move to Elizabeth Limbrick, presenting on the Cultural and Arts Facility Expansion Program.
Good morning. So this memo before you is for the Cultural and Arts Facility Expansion Program, which is a new initiative, and we're very excited about it. As noted in the memo, the board members are asked to approve the special adoption and concurrent proposal of the new rules for the CAFE program, the creation of the CAFE program, and delegated authority to the CEO for administrative changes. Now, this initiative was born out of a conditional veto of the Community Anchored Program in the New Jersey Economic Recovery Act, and the detailed legislative history and context are outlined in your memo. The program is really designed to support the development, renovation, and expansion of cultural and arts facilities such as museums, performing arts centers, and much more across New Jersey that demonstrate that they have a project financing gap. The program has been allocated $1.2 billion in tax credits through the legislation, and this is going to provide substantial financial support to eligible projects. And while the program is designed and designated as a competitive program, we do not expect to be oversubscribed, at least not initially, since we are so well funded. The impetus behind this program is really multifaceted. The legislature found that arts and culture are not only an economic driver, but are, quote, inherently beneficial to the state because they provide vital contributions to the communities in which they are located, unquote. Therefore, the Act does not require a net benefits test. And this program really positions arts and culture as pivotal sectors of New Jersey's economy. And by investing in cultural infrastructure, we really aim to create hubs of activity that attract visitors and stimulate local economies. The program invites applications primarily from nonprofit organizations and government entities, both of which must have a primary mission and specific policy goal focused on cultural, arts and culture education, or the artistic enrichment of New Jersey residents. In addition, the program does include a provision for for-profit businesses that are receiving either a federal or state historic rehabilitation tax credit program to be eligible for the program. However, we believe that that segment for the for-profits will be a limited pool of applicants. So again, this is a competitive tax credit program providing up to 100% of eligible project costs, subject to a cap of $75 million per project. And like our other tax credit programs, the tax credit can be sold. And that's especially important for this program since, again, we anticipate most of the applicants will be nonprofits. If approved by the board today, we anticipate opening the first round for applications this spring. And this initiative will be open to eligible projects throughout the entire state, ensuring that the benefits of cultural development are felt widely and inclusively. The program is structured to support the construction, rehabilitation, and expansion of cultural arts facilities. I want to point out that the statute does require that the applicant operate the facility for the eligibility period. The Act provided that we could establish an eligibility period between 5 and 10 years and did not specify the amount of the tax credits that the institution would have made available to them each year. So what we have proposed is that it is a 5-year eligibility period because that really facilitates project financing by reducing risk and enhancing the ability to secure bridge lending sources. And this would allow recipients to maximize the proceeds from their awards. If we do that, that means that the project, the eligibility period begins when the project is certified as complete and then lasts for 5 years. And they have to operate the facility for those 5 years, and the tax credit would then be issued in 5 equal annual installments during the eligibility period. The eligibility criteria are designed to ensure that funded projects are well positioned to succeed. These are very similar to other programs, in particular Aspire. Some key requirements are that the applicant is a cultural arts institution and will have an ownership or lease space in the cultural arts facility and, again, will operate the facility throughout that 5-year eligibility period after construction, and that the project will be open to the public. And this was an important point about being open to the public. We had a lot of careful thought around this and focused on this in EO 63 because we wanted to make sure that these facilities provide benefits to visitors and residents. What we came up with for open to the public is that it requires no special membership, invitation, appointment, or private status, and that any member of the general public who wishes may enter, visit, participate, or attend. They can require that access be during specified hours or be ticketed. And then the other piece of it is that we said, on average, for facilities that do exhibits such as museums, they have to be open to the public for 20 hours per week. For performing arts venues such as theaters and concert halls, on average of 4 events per month. And for arts education, we aligned that with the arts venues of doing an average of 4 educational offerings or programs per month. Aligning with Aspire at application, the applicant must provide the status of that ownership or lease, and then they would need to have an executed document as a condition of approval. Another important point for this program is that there is a minimum capital investment of $5 million, and that is required by statute. Also, as required by the Act, the applicant must have a primary mission and specific policy goal of cultural arts and culture education or artistic enrichment of the people of New Jersey. Similar to other programs, we do require a letter of support from the local governing body of the municipality. One place this differs is that we also, instead of requiring it just from the local governing body, they can also use the chief executive, such as the mayor, can actually do this letter. Per the statute, during the eligibility period, the cultural arts institution is required to partner with one or more local community organizations that support and services to Work First New Jersey program recipients, and that's, I think, different than our other programs. Projects cannot have started construction prior to application unless specific conditions are met, such as environmental remediation or health and safety requirements. And this prohibition on commencement of construction is directly from the statute. It's really important that potential applicants understand this is an eligibility requirement, and failure to meet this requirement means that the entire project would not be eligible. Similar to Aspire, applicant must demonstrate that a project financing gap exists, including we do allow for a reasonable and appropriate return on investment. Similar to Aspire, the applicant is required to demonstrate they have the ability to complete and operate the project throughout the eligibility period, and they have to demonstrate that the tax credit is needed. As set by the Act, the minimum equity requirement is 20%, except it's only 10% in the GRMs, which are designated as Atlantic City, Patterson, and Trenton. One unique feature is that we do allow the applicant to submit a fundraising plan to satisfy this requirement, and we will give them a year after board approval to raise that equity. They can also request an extension. For CAFE, we also are allowing state grants to be counted, which is different from some of our other programs. And in addition, we did allow in this program that not more than half of their equity would come from property value. And we did that because we wanted to make sure the applicants were bringing other sources of funding to the project and maintaining a substantial stake in the project, really to encourage that commitment and accountability. And this differs from our other programs. The reason we did that is because this program offers 100% tax credit, which is higher than our other programs. As far as project costs, these are defined in the rules, and they will be, the eligible cost will be used to size the award. Generally, this includes costs related to the project construction incurred from time of application until their certificate of occupancy. Similar to Aspire, the program allows for 20% of soft costs, and we are allowing soft costs to be incurred up to a year prior to application. Similar to Aspire, we have prevailing wage for both construction and building services, and this applies from board approval through the end of the eligibility period. We also have substantial good standing with our sister agencies for both the applicant and lead development entities, similar to Aspire. The Act requires that the authority establish scoring criteria to evaluate proposed projects, setting a minimum score to determine award priority. For the initial round, a minimum score of 40 out of 100 is proposed to be inclusive, and we may adjust this in future rounds based on the previous results. We think with $1.2 billion in tax credits available, oversubscription is not expected. Appendix B has details on the specific proposed criteria and further clarifications on each of the different aspects that we would consider in scoring the project. For the application review process, similar to other tax credit programs, staff would conduct a sister agency check for that substantial good standing, legal review, underwriting, and scoring, and then the board would certify that the applicant is a cultural arts institution, make their decision based on the project eligibility and feasibility and available funding provided. For the approval conditions, they will have 1 year after board approval to meet these conditions, similar to Aspire. Reporting, we'll have progress reports every 6 months from board approval through the agreement, and annual reports from agreement through the five-year eligibility period. Submittals for certification of project completion are detailed in the memo and are similar to Aspire. In this program, we recognize that many of the applicants will be nonprofits. Therefore, we wanted to emphasize forfeiture of tax credits over recapture, and this is designed to minimize the financial burdens on those organizations, allowing them to focus on their mission-driven work without the fear of these penalties. The details on forfeiture and recapture are included in the rules. The fees were set based on analysis of similar programs to ensure that they cover the administrative costs such as staff time and third party or contractor fees for services such as marketing. Fees are tiered for small projects less than $20 million and large projects which are $20 million or more. So in conclusion, the CAFE program really represents a significant investment in New Jersey's cultural and economic future. By supporting the development and expansion of cultural arts facilities, we really are building more vibrant, thriving communities across the state. And we look forward to seeing the projects that will emerge from this initiative. So to reiterate, the board is asked to approve this one, special adoption and concurrent proposal of the new rules for the CAFE program, two, the creation of the CAFE program, and three, delegated authority to the CEO for administrative changes. And this concludes my prepared remarks. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Tim, is there anything you want to add or say? Tim?
Sorry, I was on mute there. I was saying I have some thank yous to say if you vote yes, but other than being excited about this and eager to roll it forward, this is an important, as Elizabeth said, investment in our cultural institutions, and really excited to have that be an integral part of our economic development strategy. So not much more to add.
I was just going to say, I recall from the committee, if I'm right, just to be clear, the $1.2 billion in tax credits here is separate and apart from the Aspire program, right? So this is in addition to the Aspire credits we have.
That's right, yes.
And I think we talked about this also at committee. The Elizabeth, you think there's a, I gather there's been a group of cultural institutions that have been sort of following the contemplation of this program, so you think you'll have a sort of group lined up when this is announced. Is that right?
That is right. We've talked to several institutions. We are building a pipeline. A lot of people are pretty excited about the program.
Great. Any questions from other members of the board or comments?
Chair, this is Charles Sarlo. I have one question for Elizabeth. Elizabeth, can you just give me some clarification on the timing as it relates to the equity fundraising and the approval by the board? So would the approval by the board allow then for an additional 1 year for the fundraising effort?
So they'll have 1 year from the time the board approves the project to actually raise those funds that they told us that they were going to raise.
And the consequence, if that 1 year passes, I guess there could be an extension, but just say it runs its course, the tax credits are just not issued?
Right. The project would not move forward. They could always come back and reapply in the future, though.
So, but theoretically, they could have started proceeding with the project, right? So if they don't,
yeah.
If they were relying on the tax credit in their financial formula and, you know, they could not do the fundraising, they don't get the tax credits, then they'd have to either stop the project midstream or secure other funding.
I mean, it's our hope that they would be able to secure that other funding.
Correct, right. Okay.
And, Charles, this is Gabriel. This is similar to Aspire in that those also have a one-year time period for the financing to be executed. They provide, you know, LOIs or things of that nature at board approval. The question may be the risk of the fundraising, but otherwise it's the same time period for all financing for Aspire.
Got it. Okay, thanks. My only concern is obviously not-for-profit being a little aggressive with their, you know, what they think they could raise, you know, through fundraising.
Understood.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Dragon, motion
Robert
to
approve. All right, thank you. Elizabeth, Robin, are we going to take that as a second? Is that okay?
Fantastic.
All right. Any further questions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Congratulations, that's very exciting. And I note in the notes, this will now go to the New Jersey Register for publication, is that correct?
Yes, but these have immediate special adoption. So as soon as they're in the register, they will have the, for lack of a better word, force of law. Sometimes, like the rules we did at the December meeting, those go out and they are not they're not formally enforceable or usable until public comment happens and we readopt them. In this scenario, we have special adoption powers and
Get
granted to us by the legislation. They are immediately effective as soon as they're in that journal, whatever it's called.
Great. All right, exciting. I think that.
Yeah, just real quick before we let everybody go, I just wanted to say that rules are a labor of love and a lot of labor as well. So I just want to extend some appreciation to our team within the EDA, led by Mary and George and Dan and Elizabeth and Allison Jones and Jignasa, and extraordinary collaboration from Gabriel and the team at the Office of the Attorney General, and lots of great support from the governor's office, particularly Kay McDonald's shop and Aaron's shop in council and GAU. So deep appreciation for lots and lots of work to get this here.
Agreed. All right, I think Tim or Danielle, unless there's anything else, that concludes the agenda for today, correct?
Correct. Now you just have to take a motion to adjourn.
All right. Could I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Yes, Juan Johnson.
All right. All in favor signify by saying aye, aye.
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 All right. That concludes our meeting. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you in February. And, operator, I think we're done.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for the time. Appreciate it.
And this concludes our conference for today. Thank you for participation and using Verizon Conferencing Services. You may now disconnect.